What a beautiful, beautiful day. I know. Don't look out there. This is a beautiful, beautiful day. Anytime we get to do this, it's a beautiful day. And I'm telling you, anytime that you can get into the presence of the Lord and let Him touch you and minister to your heart, it's a beautiful day. Absolutely beautiful day. Let me start this morning by making an announcement, I guess. I asked Pastor about this before service, but Sister Holly Bartlett called, she messaged me, and she has my phone number. I don't know why she didn't text me, but she messaged me, and she was sharing with me through the World Network of Prayer, which is an organization that the UPCI has, that today is a kickoff for Prodigal's Day of Prayer. And it's starting a 90-day period of prayer and fasting for prodigals. And there, the World Network of Prayer is sponsoring it. There's a Facebook page, Help to Help 15, which is the title of that Facebook page that is drilled into and has been for several years, about supporting prayer for prodigals. I don't know, I'm pretty sure that most everyone sitting here today or anyone that is listening has a prodigal in their lives somewhere. And it's heavy on hearts. Or if you don't have one personally related to you, you know someone who should be in the house of God, enjoying the presence of God, and they're not. And there are a lot of things, like way so many things, that keep them from walking in the door. And so this is a program. Specific 90-day period of prayer and fasting for prodigals is being supported and led by Sister Diane Long out of POA, and another, I don't remember the name. But anyway, it's not just us. It's all over the world. In the chat, in the video that I listened to yesterday, and we'll finish listening to it this morning, there was someone from Brazil. It's all over the world that this is a push for prayer and fasting for prodigals. So if you would like to support that, or if you want to, I can share a picture with you that is the supporting it, and a program of prayer. And they have a book that they are supporting. Yes, Sister Phoebe, you have it? All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. So Sister Phoebe has that. I don't know how I could read that book in a day, but they said they were going to read that book every day. I don't know. Yeah, it's. I don't know that I can do that, but I can pray and fast. I have prodigals in my life. This lesson today kind of goes right along with that. It could. And you know me. I have to sometimes bring some support for a lesson. I think it helps us learn. It helps us remember. We are starting a new series today. And it is the parables. Jesus taught in parables, and this section is going to be talking about four specific parables. Now, this parable, Amy would say that this is my favorite topic. When she was younger, I made her go gather things like this one time. Actually, all of the kids. I sent them out, and I said, "You get this one, and you get that," and then she heard about the lesson, and later on, I don't know, a month or so later or whatever, I don't know. The timing is escaping me. But she said that I never, ever teach anything without talking about dirt. So, we're going to talk about dirt today. Our focus verse is in Mark 4, verses 2 and 3. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. But you can also read this very same parable in Matthew 13 and Luke 18. And you can pick your first version or your favorite version, whichever. I don't typically pick Mark when I'm dealing with this parable. When I've read or taught out of this parable, I have usually selected Matthew. Because that whole chapter, Matthew 13, there's so many parables in there. But anyway, let's pray before we go any further. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, to be listening to your word, and I'm listening too, Lord. I'm listening to what you have to say to me, and help me to share that with this congregation and anyone that is listening online. And we give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The icebreaker. Well, you have it or you don't have it. It is, do you have a green thumb? All right, Sister Sherry, I know Sister Sherry. Brother and Sister Glover are saying no, they don't have a green. You have black thumbs? Mine can turn all different colors. So, I know several of you have greenhouses. You have gardens. You have many places, and I thought about this, and I said, well, this is really the wrong season in Alaska to be teaching this lesson, okay? We're not getting ready to plant unless you're planting fall bulbs, and right now is the time to do that. You know, and I have an area that I want to go plant wildflower seeds in, and because it's this time right now, I think I can go spread some seeds and kind of ruffle them into that natural environment that I want them to grow in. And hopefully they would work there. But a green thumb, we often have it or we don't have it. We can develop one. You can. With time and practice, you can develop a green thumb. I'm sorry, Amy. But you should see the plants in her house now. And she couldn't keep anything alive when she was a kid. And now she has lots of plants. Your tree died. I'll tell you what, that Norfolk pine, you know, the beautiful little needles that are so soft and wonderful, and they sell them at Christmas time. This is not the climate for those, okay? All right, don't feel bad. I've killed several of those in my life. No, but seeds. So many of us have experience in sowing seed. When we plant a garden or we're planting trees or we're planting a hedge or whatever we're doing and we're planting things, we are usually very specific about where we put it, right? And up here, depending on what you're planting, but most of what you plant, you're going to have to protect it. Because there are these great big brown beasts that walk around wherever they want to that love most of what we plant. They don't like potatoes, I can tell you that. There are a few things that you can plant outside of a protected area, but most everything else, they'll just come take care of it for you. And I don't want to take too much time, but speaking of moose, in Anchorage, we had 4 apple trees in a row, and we didn't have them protected, I can tell you that. We had a fence on one side, but we didn't have fence on the other side of the yard. And one year, my husband said to me, a week about the time you were supposed to be picking apples, he said, "Honey, you really need to go out there and pick those apples." I said, "Yep, going to do it this weekend. Haven't gotten to it yet, but I am going to do it on Saturday and Thursday." The moose showed up. The trees had a lot of apples on them. And do you know how many apples I was able to pick on Saturday? 7. That's it. You can barely make a pie with 7 apples when they're, you know, this big. So, you know, we have a lot of things that affect what we plant. But when Jesus was talking about the sower had one responsibility, and they didn't sow specifically. And that's the importance of this lesson. They did not sow the seed specifically. The sower was to go out in countries that broadcast seed. They would reach into a bag, and they would hold their fingers just right, and they would sling the seed. And it would just go wherever, and they would walk through the field, and they would just pull it out and throw it, and pull it out and throw it. Kind of like my husband was sowing clover seed this spring, and he got out a spice container that had the sprinkle holes in it, and he was driving the four-wheeler up and down the area, and he was sprinkling seed as he drove the four-wheeler. It was supposed to be very sparse, and if you do one of those weed and feed things that you drag or walk, you know, that's way too much. So anyway, but broadcasting. And we know this parable to be that the seed is the word of God. And he wants us to sow this everywhere. Everywhere. The sower. But we sow into different things. And when you broadcast, the seed is going to go everywhere. Do you have a hard path anywhere? You know, you have the trail that you always walk to a certain spot. Now, maybe you're really good and you always walk around the driveway. But if you have a field and you travel to the same place enough times, you're going to create what the scripture said as a wayside. It's the path. Now, if Emilio was sitting right there, we could bring up that testimony that she shared of going to conference, and she was flying in, and she asked Holly, "What are all of those squares?" If you are in farming country, you know that they try really hard to make it square. Now, it isn't always, but so many places, and yes, if you fly over the Midwest, you're just going to see squares. And circles in these very specific ways. But in Bible times, they had an outside that they walked around their field. Now, I found a chunk of concrete that was dumped on the side over there across the road at when they poured our foundation for our house. So this is as close as I could get to the wayside. When I pulled up with the shovel a section of the driveway, there was way too much dirt in it. It didn't stay hard. But the scripture said that there was seed that landed on this ground, this very hard, walked on path that we would not sow seed here. When we plant specifically. And we would never put a seed here. How many of you have ever seen pictures of trees that were growing out the side of a cliff? Have you ever seen a volunteer flower come up in the crack of the driveway, the sidewalk, the hard path? They found a place. There was a crack. There was a change in that hardness that was able to receive a seed. So, yes, I know that scripture says that the enemy, in the first description of that parable, it is the birds that come and take the seed away. And yes, that happens most of the time. But there can be cracks in that hard soil, in that wayside, that something could happen in. The next soil that is mentioned in the parable is the stony soil. Now, this is full of rocks. I wouldn't plant anything in this either. Now, I do know that people make rock gardens, and they're beautiful. But there is a very specific little spot that they put the plant in and the rocks around it. Okay? And underneath, there's plenty of soil. Because what happens in this planting of the casting of the seed is that it grows up really quickly. The faith in that love for God grows up really quickly. But there is so much hardness here that the roots can't do anything. They're just really shallow and weak. And the hardness that's here causes that plant to wither and die when there's any sort of intenseness. Intense sunshine will kill a plant that doesn't have any roots. Or doesn't have enough of a root system, because all of the water in this evaporates very quickly because there's nothing here to hold the water. And so this plant isn't going to survive very long. Now, this is the best I could do. And I did dig up, well, that rose will probably come back because they're almost impossible to get rid of. But it was in a place I didn't really want it anyway, so I dug it up just for today. But we're not going to plant in this either. But broadcasting, seed will land here. And it will grow. But in your experience with gardening, what grows faster? The weeds. And if you put a plant that you grew specifically in the greenhouse, or you went to, you know, Walmart or Fred Meyer or someplace and you bought one that was already grown and you put it in the ground and there is weeds and things in the soil. Mm-hmm. Sister Esther knows what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter if that plant that you put there specifically, that seed of the Word of God that had grown, and it's there specifically, if there are any weeds around and they're not taken care of, they will very quickly overtake the plant that you put there. Or that grew because it had been sowed where there were weeds. The cares. These things are just the pressures and cares of this world. That we can't really do a whole lot about. They happen. And they can kill that plant that we want. Now this one, I'm not sure this one might actually have a whole bunch of bird seed. So if we were to plant something in this, our seed would grow. But if you're not really careful, you can have weeds grow in this too. So Jesus said that we as sowers are to sow the seed everywhere. And that's what we need to do. We need to sow the seed everywhere. Now, is that being real intense about sowing that seed? No, that's just sharing about the Lord and that He loves them. And if they have a need, you can pray about that need right then, and you are just sowing a little bit of seed. And then later, when it starts to be growing, and God puts you back in contact with whoever that is, then a bit more work begins. Right? Pastor encourages us, that's when you start a Bible study. That's when you really start working with them. And I am going to tell you today that many of us, if not all of us, have been one of these and probably not this one in the beginning. And if we started as this one, without work, you don't stay in the good soil. You don't stay labeled as good soil all the time. Because there are things that happen in our lives. We do have cares. We do have hard things in our life. And we may have been wayside, really hard. Or something could happen in our lives that creates real hardness. That someone would say, that's wayside soil. What are you doing with that soil? Can I interject into here that all of these soils, with work, can become this soil. And if we see things, or if we know things are within ourselves, if we have hardness, or we come in contact with somebody that is hard and God keeps them in our lives, What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be helping them not be wayside soil. Paul said in Corinthians, I think it was chapter 3, that he planted, and Apollos watered. But when it comes to growing, it is but God gave the increase. The growth that happens in us is only a but God thing. But who does that work? Now, it is a God thing, but we are his body right now on this earth. And I'm going to tell you that this ground, now this piece of concrete might be pretty hard to break up. Okay, this is kind of jackhammer stuff or you know, a big sledge. But it can be broken up, okay? But a path can be broken up. You can get out there with a shovel and very carefully, or maybe not so carefully, but with people, we want to be careful. And we can help dig up that ground. And what are you going to come up with when you dig up that hard wayside? Oh, you're going to come up with this. This is what you're going to end up with. You plow a field. Or the D9 just shoves all that dirt that they dug out of your basement hole, you know, shoves it all over in this area that was all, you know, up and down and here and there. And my, you know, my husband wants it all flat, you know, a grade a little bit this way and all that. And that is that good soil? Oh, no. It came out of the ground way down there deep, and it's full of rocks. And do you know what happens every winter? More rocks just come. They grow right out of the ground. I had a garden one time that in the spring, and we had worked really hard on that garden. We had screened the dirt into beds, you know, raised beds. We the ground in our backyard wasn't very good, okay? So, you know, we worked really hard. And two or three winters later, you know what came up in my garden bed? Oh, no, sister, it was worse than that. It was a chunk of rebar. Came up in the garden. It's like, But I have walked through the field with a wagon, and I have picked up rocks, and if you're close enough to the edge, you don't put them in the wagon because you have to unload them, and that's you have to handle them twice. No, if you're close enough to the edge, you pick it up and you throw it over there, and that's what we need to do with rocky soil when hard things are in someone's life. We have to help them dig it up and throw it away and get rid of it. Because those hard things in our life, they come up. The things that are deep inside of us that need to come out, but they don't always get taken care of right away. In that seed of faith growing, and answering the call, yes, Lord, I know you love, I can feel that you love me, and we repent, and then we see in God's word that we need to be baptized in Jesus' name, and then we know, because we receive his spirit, all of those things can happen in our lives, but there could still be hardness that will work its way up. And many times we have to have each other to take care of that. Because if we don't share in this, we can think that we are the only one ever to deal with that. But it's not true. We all have hard things in our lives, some more than others. But we all have that trouble that can cause our roots to be shallow and not be able to grow like God wants the roots to grow in our lives. Do you know what He wants us to be? He wants to be a tree planted like a tree. Psalms 1 says, we are to be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Do you know what that water is? That water is the Holy Ghost. And Apollos in Corinthians, he helped with the watering. He shared what the Holy Ghost gave him with others. That's sharing the water. That's helping share what the Holy Ghost can do in our lives. But if there's hardness, we need to help pull it out. And if we have hardness, we need to have this conversation, and we may need to have this help too, to get rid of hardness. This stuff is harder to deal with. The rocks are really obvious. They're, you know, break your back. Yeah, do that too long. But and then wheel that wheelbarrow or that wagon or whatever it is that you're putting them in over to the edge, and then you got to, well, sometimes wheelbarrows are pretty easy. You just tip them up. In a wagon, you have to work a lot harder, and you tip that thing up to dump those out. Or you pick them up one by one again and pitch them to the side. Because that's, hardness needs to be way away from us. But this stuff happens because of things that care. This world, things grow. This prickly one right here, yeah. I don't know that I saw any flowers on it, but it's a little rose bush, wild rose. Those are so hard to get rid of. Sister Becca told me that she dug up a little raspberry. Now I'm telling you what, those, if you don't want them in that area, they're really hard to get rid of because it travels in the earth and grows up wherever it wants to. Seeds. Now some seeds are pretty good size. A corn, you're planting corn, you know you're planting corn. A bean, if you plant a bean, you know you're planting a bean. But weed seeds, they're really little. And you have no idea where they're at. And in order to get, well, like I told you, that dirt's probably not really, really good dirt. I'm pretty sure there's bird seed in there. But there's some of the other good stuff that you want in good dirt because, well, we bought it. And to get dirt without weed seeds in it, without the cares of the world, it has to be processed. Now, if you have a really good compost pile, which is kind of hard to do in Alaska, but a really good compost will kill all of those weed seeds because it rises to a temperature that kills them all. And then you have good dirt. But you know, most of us have to pay for it. And it's expensive. And let me tell you, I learned last year that the stuff they sell at Costco, even if it says Miracle-Gro on it, has a lot of, it's still not really good dirt. It has more, my husband said, yeah, this is full of sticks. Well, it has a lot more bulk in it than it has soil, I can tell you that. You need to throw that stuff, at least the stuff I bought last year, I needed to throw that in the compost pile, okay? It wasn't real good dirt yet. So, but to get rid of those cares, we have to be exposed to the fire of the Holy Ghost and be just washed and stay in the presence of the Holy Ghost so that we can deal with the cares that come to us. Now, in the natural, you're either going to get down on the ground or right next to your raised bed, and you're going to pull all those things out. And dandelions, most of the time we put stuff on the grass that kills those things. But if you're going to dig those out, did you know you're supposed to get every bit of that root? And dandelions don't have any problem growing really good roots in this stuff. Because they're tenacious weeds. Now you read some books and you know there's a lot of good purposes for that dandelion. Yes, dare I say my grandmother used dandelion to make things you shouldn't drink. She said it was really good. I don't know. I was too young to try, and then I knew I didn't want to. So, never had it. The leaves are supposed to be really good in salad. Have I ever picked dandelion leaves and put them in my salad? Nope. Are they good? I'll have to try it next year when they're new and fresh and, yeah, The only time, yep. So, there are so many things, but the things that we really don't want, they come up in our lives. And without bathing ourselves in the Holy Ghost, the heat of the Holy Ghost. Now, wait a minute. You just said that it's water. It is. But it's also fire. Now, not fire that burns us up when we're protected by that well of living water. Okay? How's that for an analogy? We have the well of living water in us, but our natural life needs to be purged in fire to clean out these cares. So we can, in the natural, we can pull weeds or you can get a hoe out. You know what a hoe is? Yeah, it's that flat blade. It's usually about that long with a little crook and it hooked to a handle and you really should sharpen it. Because I've used a dull one before. It didn't work very well. You have got to get rid of those weeds or they're going to take over what you planted. And we have got to take care of and help those around us that are dealing with cares be able to come to the presence of the Lord and let those things burn out of our lives. And make sure that person that's in the middle of it has the water, that precious flowing water of the Holy Ghost to protect them in that time of circumstance and trouble comes into life. And our goal is always to be this good soil. But remember, we don't start this way. I mean, I know the parable is that 1/4 of the seed fell on good ground. But so many of us today don't start this way. And someone spent a lot of time working on the soil, helping that person become who they are. I can tell you, I didn't start as good soil. There was something in my heart, but it took a lot of work to get me to being good soil most of the time. Because in our natural lives, we change all the time because life happens to us. But with helping and with the help of the body of Christ, everyone can be closer to this. Pastor, I'm not sure we're going to be this completely until we are transformed. Right? And the scripture says that that good soil is good for percentages. What is it? 20, 30, 60, 90? It's a progression of percentage of fruit out of good soil. And that's what our goal is. We want to be good soil. Are we being productive? Are we working in the kingdom of God? How many have noticed the bulletin board in the back? Have you stopped and looked at that? I'm not sure exactly who in our group did that. Yeah, Megan, she does some awesome bulletin boards. And I, as I was preparing for this lesson, I looked at that bulletin board. And I thought, that's exactly what God wants us to be. We are a seed, but which one are we? Which seed of purpose has God planted us to be? Because those seeds that are examples there, there's herbs there, there's fruit trees there, there's the regular garden seeds. What is the purpose that God wants us to be in His body? Because if we aren't being who He wants us to be, we're not going to be productive. We're going to be hindered. In verse 20, it says that it's 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The productivity. But we don't have productivity if we don't know who we are. Because we're constantly struggling with who am I in God's kingdom. And when we are struggling with who we are, we can't touch those around us very well. But when we find out and someone has helped us break up hardness in our lives, and someone has picked up some rocks in your life and thrown them to the side, you don't really need this. As a matter of fact, you really need to get rid of this. And someone has helped us kill some weeds in our lives. Enough that we can be that good ground. 30, 60, or 100-fold. And the key is to keep our ground good. So today, green thumb or not, we have a purpose to help the garden that God intends in this body to be who He intends us to be. God, help us. Help those around us. And I'm going to go back to what I opened this lesson with in the announcing of the prodigals. This is the time. And prodigals are full of this. But deep inside, there's still good soil. But it's so deep inside that the hardness may need to be cracked away. There's a lot of rocks that need to be tossed aside out of their lives. And oh, the cares. Tossed aside, not thrown out. You got to toss aside the problems and not the person. And I dare say that it's going to be harder on us to deal with the difficulties in a prodigal's life. Especially a prodigal that may have hurt us, than it is to deal with a stranger that we know nothing about. We can oftentimes love them easier than we can someone who has walked away and, what? Or someone that has hurt us and said, I never will darken the door again. But God still loves them. And there's still good dirt in there. And He wants us to share and love that too. And help them become who God wants them to be. I'm a minute or so over. Helen Keller, we all know that name. She was born blind and deaf. And the person, Anne Sullivan, who had dealt with deafness herself, took it upon herself to take this out of control girl who was terrorizing her home away from her environment to work with her to help her know and understand her world. And the breakthrough that Anne had came when she took Helen to the water pump. And she stuck her hand in the water and then fingerspelled the word into her hand. This word. And because she could relate, that's the key. Helen could relate, this is coolness running over my hand. It's making me wet. And this is water? Yes, it's water. And Jesus did the very same thing by teaching in parables. Why are you teaching in language that they don't understand? We have to share in a way that someone is going to understand. We have a language all of our own. And the people that we work with may not understand those words. You can get really theological after you've read a bunch of Brother Bernard's books. But I dare say that when he's talking to someone that may not understand that, that he's going to approach it a different way. And Jesus taught parables, and we're going to be learning about parables. I'm looking forward to the service. God bless you all.